You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Well, tell me this, of all your experiences that you went through in regards to discipleship and God, the explosion that you were in and the charismatic renewal movement, what are some things that you learned that you can share with us? I really want to hear a few things.
Well, I thought a little about that, and you could easily write a book on things you learn, and I'm 82, and so it's not just discipling and shepherding and all that, it's life itself.
Okay.
And there are some things I say I've learned, I hope I've learned, but one thing that we all need to know, Jesus commanded certain things. He didn't suggest them, he commanded them. And if you start out to obey his commands, not for salvation, but because he said do it. Salvation comes by faith in him. But to say I've got faith in him, but I don't obey him, I'm not sure that works.
Dead faith.
And so I know in my case, I felt God call me to the ministry against my wishes. My father was a minister. I loved my dad. He was a great man. But I never felt like I measured up to that. And for a lot of reasons. Anyway, so okay, I became a minister. I got almost got arrested. I got in a fight that stopped a countywide basketball tournament. I was on the stage because it was the overflow area after I was licensed to be a minister. So it's just a hint as to why I didn't want to be a minister. And that was just one of many reasons, because I wouldn't put up with it. I told my father, I said, if people said to me about me what they say to you, and Dad pastored the same church 35 years, which is a rarity. Dad was a community pastor. But I said, if they said to me what some of them say to you, I said, I'd knock all their teeth out. He said, well, you don't know what you would do.
Right.
And he was right, I didn't. But when I finally committed my life to the ministry, and walk through my own stuff, I had a lot to learn. And I figure I've got just as much to learn right now. Because there are layers and layers and layers of truth in one word. And you learn it on one dimension, then you learn it on another dimension.
Right.
So, well, one of the things I learned is nothing becomes real till you try it. Theories don't produce character. Theories don't produce triumph. And so I believe God delights more in the mistakes of those who try than the successes of those who don't, or the ideas. Another thing for me is when you get in charge, you think you can change people, but you can't. And so I learned a hard lesson that only the Holy Spirit can change hearts. You should be very careful even about, I'm a pathological advice giver, and people just love it.
Right. I got some advice about that.
I'm the oldest child in the family.
Okay.
And so I got it naturally where I have to take care of the other children.
Right.
My father told me one time, said, son, leave some problems for God to solve, because I have this nature.
Right.
So I had to learn, you don't change people. You can love them, but only God can change people. Another thing is that patriarchy is not a pyramid. Patriarchy is generational. And it's easy for both those who are in a lineage, and those who are, let's say, over a lineage, to think of it vertically, instead of thinking of it horizontally. And we got accused of a vertical view. We were a pyramid. I drew on a blackboard a horizontal heritage, but people don't see that.
Right.
And be fruitful and multiply is exactly what it is. You have children, they have children, they have children. You're a patriarch, but it's not a pyramid.
Right.
But people see pyramids, and they're looking for who's in charge. And a lot of people who are intended to take responsibility out there in a generation are still looking at it as a pyramid themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're using so-and-so's name and saying, you know, I'm submitted to him. And so
and
you
they're
have
not.
To, and the, you don't know them.
Right.
And they don't know you.
Right.
So you have to get used to the idea that some people will misuse your name.
Right.
And sometimes you'll misuse it yourself.
Right. Right. Did I say that?
If you're not careful. Oh, me. Another thing that is helpful to know that the aim of discipleship is to mature them to friendship. Mm. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Mm. And my best friends are some of those that I discipled. Mm-hmm. But I don't look at them as my disciples. Mm-hmm. I look at them as my friends. Mm-hmm. And they've taken whatever I taught them places I could never take it.
Right.
One guy's a blue-collar guy. He's got disciples in 37 countries.
Wow.
Another guy starts a music company, becomes the biggest in the world. Yeah. Biggest of its kind, mm-hmm. and it's not a pyramid.
Right.
Your prayer is that people you influence are smarter than you are, learn from your mistakes, and take it places you could never take it.
Wow, that's good.
And so I've seen some of that, and I'm grateful to God.
That's good.
The Bible talks about fruit defining us.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I could go on with this, but I think one thing you need to be aware of, that when people disagree with you, they'll attack your motives. They won't attack your processes. Mm-hmm. They'll attack who you are.
Personal attack.
And you have to not get bitter. When that happens, you gotta love them.
Right. Gotta love them anyway.
I didn't have any trouble with that.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah. Those are some things. I think the key thing, real disciples bear fruit. Mm. People that are just into knowledge, listen, they become connoisseurs of good sermons, but they never bear fruit themselves. Mm. And that's unfortunate because they have a lot to give.
So is it your fault? Is it the individuals? I'm not looking for a fault, because sometimes you can say, like, I've poured into their lives, I've done this thing, I shared with them, I've walked this out, but they refuse to, because it requires that you to lay your life to make a disciple. It's like saying that we're gonna have a child. The reason why a lot of people aren't having children today is because they have to give of yourself and commit a lifelong,
it's a sacrifice.
Lifelong commitment mm-hmm. to this thing called another member of the family.
Right.
So, what about the minister, the Christian, who has felt like they've done that, and the person just says, I don't care what you say, I'm not going to have a baby, I'm not going to lay my life down for that. Is it the individual? I mean, it could be everywhere, obviously, but.
Well, I think part of it is the fault of the pulpit, mm-hmm. because we haven't spelled out what is required. Okay. We say, okay, being a Christian requires a certain moral standard, maybe a certain giving standard, mm-hmm. Maybe a certain attendance standard, maybe a certain involvement in committees and programs right. standard, and all of that. But we don't say, well, if you're a real Christian, you're going to produce another Christian here pretty soon.
Right.
If you don't,
right.
you need to leave the church. Whoa. Well, that would be a terrible thing
yeah,
to say.
Right.
But I'm saying
right.
everything else is part of church membership.
Right.
But that's not.
Right.
Now, we may preach from time to time. We need to lead people to Christ and so forth.
Invite your friends. Invite your relatives.
Right. That's a step forward.
Yeah, right.
But it isn't just yeah. that we get somebody saved.
Right.
Making disciples is a whole nother thing.
Yes.
It's a commitment. It's like having a child.
Yeah.
And it's very much like having a child.
Right.
And you get calls and you spend mm-hmm. time and all of that. But there are steps, levels of maturity mm-hmm. that one day they're going to have children.
Right.
And they're going to realize you were smarter than they thought you were.
Yeah, right.
And but the thing is, when you get old, mm-hmm. it's your fruit that's going to take care of you.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And that's something young people don't realize. It's right. something a lot of Christians don't realize.
Right.
You see, I'm blessed. I can hardly talk about it because I am reaping from those mm-hmm. that I sowed into. Mm-hmm. And I believe in it. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, I don't pastor churches. I love churches. I preach in churches often. Mm-hmm. I pastor people.
Right.
I don't sow into churches. I sow into people.
That's good.
Yeah. And I believe that's what Jesus did. He mm. gave his life for us. Mm. That's church.
Right. That's awesome. That's totally awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking about a moment in history that a lot of people aren't talking to us about to understand. You know, the Hebrews, I believe he says, you know, imitate those that have gone before you. If we don't know what happened, we can't really learn from and walk in it. I believe that a lot of us are going to be a lot wiser and eyes more open and quicker to, I know that Moore writes in his book, you know, if there had been a more pathway for dialogue, there had been some apparatus for dialogue, which you were talking about in regards to this one thing that the traditional church at that time had was systems set up to work things out. And this movement happened outside of that, so there really wasn't anything set up to do that. And then a place for reconciliation and defining what that actually means. So what is the frog and the snake saying, let's reconcile? That's a totally different story, right? But just to understand that, I think we can really grow in wisdom. And I know that I feel, you know, the wiser just listening to you, and I'm grateful for you, and I know that our audience is. I really am, and I'm thankful for you willing to lay down your life and to all this time to this point and still continue to do it, that it is a great encourager. So many people are quitting. Some people are just whatever. They just walk away, as if you could walk away, and I'm like, that must mean that how could you walk away from, you just can't walk away.
Well, part of my prayer life is for discouraged pastors. Mm. That are working hard and they have a small church and mm-hmm. they're not getting remunerated very much mm-hmm. and the onus is on them to make it grow and mm. maybe they're in a declining community. I mean, there's a lot of issues that a lot of pastors are going through and I pray for them.
Can you look in this camera right here and talk to that pastor right now? Would you take the moment to do that? He's probably, you know what he's going through. Can you talk to him?
Well, I would say to such a person that you're in the vestibule of a better time. You're in the foyer of a whole new season. And if you can realize that God brings us into valleys so he can show us the mountains, God will help you climb it. And he'll show you something you didn't see. He'll open a door you didn't know was there. And I would encourage you, don't stop. Don't stop. If you're going through a bad place, remember what Churchill said. When you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going forward and trust God. He knows the way. He didn't call you to misery. He called you to victory. And I pray today that God will raise you up and show you a brand new season.
That's powerful. Well, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so thankful for you and the time, this massive time that you spent with us. I thank you for recommending this book to be able to take a look at what took place. And we're going to make available for you all the publications of all the ever-printed New Wine magazines. It's available on his website. We'll make his website available to you as well. But I just want to tell you, we love hearing from you. Write to us, comment below. We love to hear your comments. It's very encouraging. And we'll respond to you, or the community will respond to you. And let's just pray right now. Father God, we just ask you right now, Father God, that you would supernaturally meet each individual's needs through this entire conversation. I thank you, Lord God, for Brother Charles Simpson, his willingness to just pour his heart out to us, Father God. I pray for each and every one that's listening, they would be inspired and encouraged, Father God, to say yes, to stand up for you. And dear God, we ask you, Lord, we ask you to end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN-TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN-KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN-TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.